From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. For many of us, a landline is a nostalgic relic of the past. The overwhelming majority of people rely on a cell phone to get through the day, especially during an emergency. But there are hundreds of thousands of people across California who lack access to reliable wireless services and still rely on copper landlines, especially when needing to call 911. AT&T is the largest copper landline provider in the state, known as the carrier of last resort, and in recent years has been pushing to retire these landlines nationwide. USLU is a politics reporter with Cal Matters and traveled to the North Coast to get a better understanding of why this utility giant wants to pull out of this basic phone service, as well as who might be hurt if they are taken away. And Cal Matters is a nonprofit newsroom that partners with public media stations across the state. Welcome, Stella.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Okay, so for people who haven't heard that term, what does carrier of last resort mean?
Totally. So it dates back to when AT&T was still known as the Pacific Bell Company. You know, it had such a monopoly on the telephone service industry that carrier of last resort was basically public officials' way of saying, hey, since you have monopoly status, you have to make sure that you give people universal access to reliable telephone service. So that is a status that kind of, you know, carried on since then. And basically what it means today is the carrier of last resort has to provide telephone service that is reliable to any Californian, regardless of status, regardless of geography, who requests that. So that's what it means.
Yeah. I mean, when you do go to rural or remote areas, or if you live in them, I mean, not having reliable internet or reliable data service, I mean, that isn't uncommon. So how many customers does AT&T serve with this basic phone service?
Right now, AT&T estimates about 500,000 Californians still subscribe to their last resort landline services. So that number has dwindled over the years, but if you think about it, it's still a large number.
How did AT&T get into this position of having the overwhelming majority of customers who need this basic phone service?
Yeah, well, like I said, because it was, you know, the sole biggest telephone company, right, back when it didn't have a lot of competition. But that is what has changed in today's landscape. That is one of AT&T's major arguments today when it wants to get out of this obligation in at least some California areas, because it says, look, we have a lot of competitions. We have what we call well-served areas where people have lots of providers to choose from. So why would we still need to be the last resort since people have so many options?
Well, and you traveled to the North Coast, mm-hmm. which is home to, you know, many remote areas. When you talk to people who live there, what did you learn about how they rely and need to rely on these basic lines, especially when an emergency or a disaster strikes?
Sure. I traveled to Hacienda, which is, like, if you're trying to locate it on a map, the first time I tried to do that, you have to type in Forestville, and then you zoom in and you can see Hacienda. I mean, it is a community. It's not, you know, by itself a town, a city, right? And it's sort of enveloped in this, you know, redwood forest deep in, you know, North California. So yeah, it's a community that's about 500 people strong, and it's, you know, located along the Russian River, and it's no stranger to, you know, mudslides and flooding and even wildfires, mm-hmm. although the community itself hasn't been through one. But, you know, for some of the residents I talked to, the wildfire in 2020 got super close mm-hmm. to their community. So it is a regular occurrence. And what I constantly hear from residents over there, and sure, the majority of them are, you know, elderly citizens, and they rely on their copper landline because a lot of the times it is their only choice. You know, I've spoken to residents who can't even get any internet providers to guarantee service to their homes because they live in areas where the canopy is so dense that the internet providers have straight up said no.
Yeah, and one of those residents was Kathy Yerger from mm-hmm. Hacienda. Let's mm-hmm. listen to part of what she told you about why copper landlines are still the most reliable for her and her neighbors.
The last time we did, they said, oh, it would be like trying to find a golf ball in the sky. Like, there's no way we're going to be able to get your house. And when I've called, here's my address, he just kind of went, no, you're not on the list.
So, like, do you have cell service at your place?
If I put the phone in the window and hope the stars line up and the trees don't blow, yes, I can. Like, I just tried to text you back, nothing. So then I took it off, and then I went separately, and I was able to get you.
Wow.
It's predictably unpredictable.
Yeah, and when she was referencing that golf ball analogy, it was when mm-hmm. she was trying to get wireless internet service, mm-hmm. and, you know, they weren't unable to provide that service to her home.
Exactly, yeah.
So when it comes to AT&T wanting to pull out of this basic phone service, what is the main argument that they're making?
Sure. AT&T has been trying to do this for 2 years, and it has pursued two routes. One, it has gone before the state regulators, you know, aka the California Public Utilities Commission. And it also has gone before the state lawmakers, hoping for a path to pull out without involving the California Public Utilities Commission. The basic argument is, look, we have so few customers, the 500,000 Californians who make up 5% of our customer base. It is not cost efficient, so to speak, to maintain such expensive copper network for such a, you know, small group of customers. And to that end, AT&T has said it estimates it spends about $1 billion each year to maintain the copper lines in California alone. It also has said, well, you know, we have so much competition already. Why would we still need to remain as the last resort provider in an area that is, say, a metropolitan area where you have cell service and you don't think about copper landlines anymore? So it is pitching a deal where it's saying to the state, look, if you give us this out, it's going to allow us to free up more resources to invest in more advanced modern technology like fiber optics.
Okay, so $1 billion sounds like a lot, but how much of a dent in this and overall what AT&T makes in terms of profits?
Well, AT&T is very profitable, obviously. I mean, I think we included in the story, but I think, you know, last year it netted a profit of about $12 billion, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, I mean, $1 billion is a lot of dollars for sure. But, you know, critics have said, AT&T, surely you can manage this money, right? Mm-hmm. Investing this much money each year to fulfill an obligation that is required of you by law.
Okay, but there are still residents like Kathy who don't have reliable wireless services or cell service. So what happens to residents if this were to go through? I mean, what is the argument that AT&T makes for residents like Kathy and mm-hmm. residents in communities like Hacienda?
Totally. So AT&T has said, hey, we're not cutting off anybody's service. We're not, you know, stopping the service so you don't get through to 911. That is not what we're trying to do. So it has argued in front of state lawmakers, hey, we're only hoping to pull out of areas that are, quote unquote, well served or areas where we don't have any customers that are open space, for example. So still, to this day, AT&T hasn't provided an updated version of the map. You know, it hasn't mapped out where exactly it is hoping to pull out. But if you base that on a 2023 map that it submitted to the California Public Utilities Commission, you can see that it argued, hey, 99.7% of our customers that we provide these telephone services to have at least three other providers. And Hacienda, which is a very rural community, right, that AT&T has said in public hearings, hey, we're not touching rural communities, Hacienda was on the list in their 2023 map. So right now, there's a big question around, you know, the areas that might be affected. We don't know yet, and that is still something we're watching.
Okay, so there may still be some copper landlines in, like, very remote areas?
Yes.
Oh, okay. When you talk to residents like Kathy and residents in Hacienda, how aware are they of the possibility that AT&T may retire copper landlines? Because this has been a push now for a couple years. Are they aware of that?
They are aware of it. But, you know, they might also be, kind of over-informed, I would say, because, you know, the Utility Reform Network, which is a main opponent to AT&T's attempt over the past 2 years, their policy director, Regina Costa, actually lives in Hacienda. So this is a community that is pretty informed, and they do keep in touch with the, you know, one of the major players in this fight.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with CalMatters politics reporter Estella Yu about AT&T's push to retire landlines in California, which hundreds of thousands of people, largely in rural areas, rely on. You mentioned that there is a good amount of lobbying taken place. There is legislation that didn't cross the finish line. When you talk to lawmakers, what stands out to you about the decision that they're weighing on as these pieces of legislation work its way through the Capitol in the last year or two?
I think in my reporting on the lobbying fight, it is the sheer amount of money that has struck me the most. So AT&T is already a political juggernaut in Sacramento. I mean, this year it has put $4.5 million, and that's as of the end of the third quarter this year, into lobbying state regulators and state lawmakers to try to get its way. And at the same time, you know, it has an industry ally. It's a trade association known as U.S. Telecom. It represents a lot of the telephone providers, and that organization has also formed a coalition of more than 150 groups. And you can see on their website that this is a coalition of a very diverse range of groups, right? You have civil rights groups rooting for this bill. You have, you know, community service groups. You have the tribes. You have Boys and Girls Clubs and things like that. You also have, of course, the Chambers of Commerce. But when you dig deep, and this is what we did, we conducted an analysis into the ties of each of these groups with AT&T. We found more than 80% of those, so four in every five member organizations, having a tie with AT&T.
Hmm. When it comes to the bills, how far did they get in the legislature? Did they effectively just die?
They did die for the 2 years that they had been introduced. And so in the first year, let me get into the history a little bit. So in 2023, AT&T had filed an application seeking to withdraw from its obligation with the Public Utilities Commission. The commission said, no, you don't have enough evidence to show that there is also going to be reliable service, you know, in your place. So after the commission rejected that application, AT&T turned to the legislature, and super last minute, you know, it swapped in to a bill that was originally, I think, about horse racing language that would give it a path to withdraw from this obligation. It was authored by Assemblywoman Tina McKinnor, who is an Inglewood Democrat. It did not get anywhere. As I recall, it didn't have a hearing. And this year, the bill came back, and it got pretty far. It received several hearings, but I think it also died before it could reach the final chamber for its vote.
Okay. I mean, is there the possibility that it may come back in some form?
Absolutely. We actually got confirmation from the Assemblymember McKinnor, who has told me in an interview that she plans to bring this issue back. And also remember, you know, right now the California Public Utilities Commission is having an ongoing rulemaking process. And without boring you with much of the detail, essentially that process is the commission's way of saying, hey, we understand where you're coming from. We're going to take another look at our rule, and we're going to try to define what counts as a last resort provider, who gets to serve as a last resort provider, what kind of services would you have to provide to fulfill that obligation. So that is also still ongoing.
Oh, yeah. So then that means there's more work for you to do. Where's your reporting taking you next?
I think we're going to stay tuned, right, to AT&T's attempt. And also, I'm going to be following the money. Obviously, you know, AT&T has done a lot of work lobbying, and all of it, I should say, is, you know, legal. It is the right for any corporation to spend money on lobbying and also on gifts and all of these things. Some of the details are included in my story, but that is something that I will continue to follow. And my colleague Milena, who can't join us today, she's going to continue to follow the CPUC rulemaking process.
Yeah, and it's important to note before we let you go that this isn't just potentially happening in California, but this is a nationwide push, correct?
Exactly.
To retire copper landlines.
Yes, yeah. In fact, AT&T has come up with a plan, I think either earlier this year or last year, saying that it's planning to retire all the copper landline by the end of this decade, but that plan did not include California. And one of the reasons for that is because of this California fight on carrier of last resort obligation.
Stella, thank you so much for making the trip and sharing your reporting with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And we have a link to Stella's reporting on our Insight page. That is CalMatters politics reporter, USLU, about discussing AT&T's push to retire landlines in California, which hundreds of thousands of people across the state, largely in rural areas, rely on. Up next, restoring someone's ability to hear and communicate can often be a life-changing experience. We'll talk about the work being done at Sac State's Audiology Clinic, which is providing those services for free. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.